I was told to speak up. I'm not used to using a microphone, so I'm pretty noobish. Oh, sorry. I think the last time I had a microphone was as a kid playing SingStar. So it's been a while. Yeah, the next talk by David Disseldorf, Samba and Seth. Yeah, have much fun.
Thank you.
Your show. Oh, one question. Do you want to handle questions as interrupt or after your show?
I'm not worried. Interruption is fine.
Okay, so, yeah. Awesome.
Okay, thanks for coming, everyone. So, as mentioned, I'm David Disseldorp, so from the Samba team and SUSE, and I'm here to speak about Samba and Ceph integration. So I'll start off just with an overview of Ceph and the Ceph file system. We'll take a quick look at then Samba integration with Ceph, so what we currently have. Touch on performance, just with some benchmarks which I ran recently, and then finish with sort of an outlook at what needs to be done, what's currently being done or in the works. So, yeah. Ceph is a distributed storage solution. Hopefully you've all heard of it. I've been around now for, I think, well over 10 years, so it's quite mature. It's scalable in that you can deploy it with thousands of nodes, tens of petabytes. It's fault tolerant in that there's no single point of failure. It offers quite good performance, and it's also quite easy to manage in that if there are failures or outages, it sort of handles recovery and moving data around automatically. It runs on commodity hardware, so you can just buy something off the shelf and sort of set up your own cluster. It's of course free software, open source. With Ceph, so you basically have, as you can see at the base there, this scalable, reliable, distributed object store, which is RDoS. Okay, there's some sort of problem with the connection there. Slides aren't though. Let me see. Okay, sorry about that. So at the base we have this reliable distributed object store, which is RDoS. And then the client interfaces sort of build atop that. So on the left we have RDoS Gateway. So this is a service you can deploy within your Ceph cluster. And that speaks the Amazon S3 and Swift RESTful protocols. It offers RDoS block device. So with this, you have a block device image or disk image backed by the RDoS cluster. And with Linux, that's quite useful in that you can map it just as a local block device with any regular Linux distribution and use it as you would a normal disk. Finally, on the right, which we'll sort of focus on today, is CephFS. So this is a POSIX-compatible file system, which also sits atop the Ceph RDoS cluster. So now looking at a typical deployment. We have basically a number of OSDs or storage nodes deployed within the Ceph cluster. We generally have one object storage daemon process per disk within that storage node. We have a bunch of monitor nodes, so they're responsible for presenting or tracking the cluster state and presenting that to clients. The last service there is the MDS, which is sort of specific for CephFS deployments. Yeah, so I guess the two most important processes or roles within the Ceph cluster are the OSDs and monitors. The OSDs, yeah, they're really just exposing the device or the underlying storage to clients. So clients are generally issuing I/O against a given object, whether that's then key value metadata or attributes or object data itself. You also have the ability to use a fast device, say NVMe or persistent memory atop the underlying disk, and use that for a write-ahead log or journaling. The OSDs are also involved in replication and recovery, or they're core to those features in that they handle basically peering with corresponding nodes within the cluster. Yeah, we've sort of got a graphical view of sort of how placement is determined within the Ceph cluster. So on the left, we have our objects, which also have a corresponding pool. And for a given pool within the Ceph cluster, that's broken down then into a number of placement groups. And with those placement groups, they're then sort of just scattered across the OSDs or assigned to OSDs within the cluster. The client is then mostly responsible for determining which node to speak to for a given I/O to a given object. And this is all implemented using this CRUSH algorithm. So basically, yeah, rather than checking with a metadata server for each I/O, the client just takes the current cluster state or the OSD map, uses the object name and pool name, and basically uses this CRUSH algorithm to then determine which placement group and which corresponding OSDs are then used for this object. With replication, so after the client has then determined which OSD to contact, it can send its I/O to that OSD, and the OSD then handles replication locally. So yeah, it won't basically acknowledge a write until the OSD has then made sure that there is redundant copies of that data within the Ceph cluster. That redundant data can then be just a straight replication or copy, or it can be erasure coded. And you can also specify the number of copies or the amount of redundancy you have, and failure domain. So you can also say, look, I'd like this to be copied across different nodes within the data center, different racks, or different data centers. So you have quite fine-grained control on the failure domain there. Generally, you'd deploy with an isolated network for the OSDs, and that's then used for the replication traffic and recovery. Yes?
So your user-defined redundancy level is per pool, or can you do it per object or type
per
of
pool?
Per
pool. Yeah.
And then how do you map which object will go to which pool?
So that's done by the CRUSH algorithm I mentioned earlier. So that's determined by the client. The client then basically gets this state from the cluster, and then can determine which OSDs are responsible for a given placement group. And then basically it gets a list of OSDs and contacts the primary for that. And once it's contacted the primary OSD, that primary OSD then handles replication at the back end. Sorry?
The replication is within a pool? Or
so it's... if for example, if you want one pool with two copies of your data, one pool with three copies, then yes, you do that. That's then associated with the pool itself. I think, yeah, in terms of understanding the client-side placement, yeah, you're better off sort of looking at some talks that then basically just focus on Crush or on the Crush algorithm itself. Where was I? Yeah, failure handling. So in the case of an outage, yeah, generally the monitors and OSDs are monitoring each other. And if one node goes down, then the placement groups, which are, I guess, assigned to that OSD, are then moved off to other nodes within the cluster, and those nodes then also handle peering the data again for a return to full redundancy. The cluster itself or the OSDs also perform scrubbing, so they check basically, I think it's by default, once every 2 months or so, or once every month, it would then do a full check of the data and confirm that it still matches the checksum that's also stored. It checks metadata and yeah, a few other things more frequently. Sorry, this cable really seems to be not so great. So this is sort of a look at handling of a node outage. So we can see that one of the nodes or OSDs has gone down there, and the corresponding data has been sort of shuffled off to new locations. And the client, in calculating placement for a given object, then comes out with a new OSD number for that placement group. So CephFS is then a clustered file system atop this Ceph RADOS cluster, so the object store. We have generally you'd have a number of metadata servers then deployed within your Ceph cluster for handling the file system namespace. The MDSs themselves are also designed not to be a single point of failure, so you can run active-passive or active-active MDSs. You can also do some interesting things like, I think that's actually handled automatically. It will then shard up the file system directory tree and sort of assign responsibility for a given shard of that tree to a given MDS. There's support within the Linux kernel for mounting a Ceph file system, so it's just a matter of regular file system mount. It offers snapshots, and there's also an interesting feature in that you can assign basically RADOS pools to given paths within the file system. So if you say want one part of your file system to be faster or offer better redundancy, then you can do that just by assigning or pinning pools to certain parts of the directory tree. There's basic support for quotas, so they're currently implemented on the client side, so not quite fully polished. There's support for client caching, so this is sort of more interesting from the SMB side or the SAMR side, in that the MDSs can then control which clients are allowed to cache which files, whether that's exclusively or in a shared fashion, and also ensure that they flush data when another open occurs. So it maps quite well to leasing on the SMB side. Yes, Jeremy.
Does it support extended attributes?
On the files themselves, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So the other thing you could do to really improve the Windows integration is, I know that rich ACLs aren't yet allowed in the Linux kernel, but you could theoretically implement rich ACLs in CephFS.
Yes, actually, I'm getting to that a little later, but given that we aren't running atop a regular file system mount, we can...
You could expose the full ACL semantics that we
need. We could, yeah. We could do everything in user space. And,
thank you.
So this is sort of the basic architecture then of a Samba gateway in front of the Ceph cluster. So we have basically just standard Samba with the Ceph VFS module, which is already there. And that then handles mapping I.O. Or SMBIO to the libcephfs calls, which then follow down to the Ceph cluster. The backend itself, so the VFS Ceph backend, was added by Inktank quite a few years ago. They've since been acquired by Red Hat. Currently, so one thing I didn't really touch on earlier is that Ceph uses CephX for authentication. I guess you could consider it one limitation is that you have static credentials on the Samba server, which are then used to authenticate with the Ceph cluster. So there's sort of no mapping between users on the SMB side and the CephX or the Ceph cluster user. At this stage, it's got support for POSIX ACLs. Yes, Volker?
Regarding users, who does the access checks on files? Is that some kind of Ceph server or?
So that's handled by the MDS, yes.
Okay. So we could benefit from having a proper authentication against the Ceph. Lift Ceph, whatever.
I think for so at this stage, CephFS obviously still stores and abides by the ACLs and UIDs and GIDs for the client accessing it. It's just whether we then also want to handle. So there are some things that you can do with CephX, like limit. Ceph users to specific pools and basically just more finer-grained access restrictions, which are, I think, also interesting for SMB users. So, there's also some CTDB integration in that there's just a standalone cluster mutex helper for Ceph RADOS. So basically that then ensures that you don't need a local mount of a clustered file system for the recovery lock. LibRADOS service integration. So this, I posted patches for this, but there's still some extra work needed. This just allows the Samba nodes to then advertise their presence to the Ceph cluster. So an administrator can then just check or see from a single pane which Samba servers or Samba gateways are running within the cluster. And we've lost display again. There we go. On the testing side, so there's currently nothing sort of really fully integrated into CI or anything at this stage. One thing to, or at least I'd encourage you to play around with, is the Ceph vstart functionality. So this basically allows you to deploy a mock Ceph cluster from the Ceph source. And alongside that, it's quite easy to bring up them a Samba node as a gateway and just test it that way. Yes, Andrew.
So could we have a self-test environment that starts enough of Ceph in our virtual network
We could.
And the VFS Ceph is tested against that as one of the targets in self-test.
Yeah, so yes, that's absolutely possible. I think the problem is that there's no integration with Socket Wrapper or anything like that. So potentially we'd have to do a few things there. But otherwise, yeah, it's quite possible. It'd be quite easy to just set up, if we do have a vstart environment, just create an extra share for CephFS and then run specific tests against that, like we do for ButterFS and some other exotic file systems. So,
That'd be really good to see.
Yeah. So otherwise, it's just a matter of doing that manually at the moment. So alongside your vstart cluster, you can bring up Samba and just run SME Torture and the CIFS or the XFS test suite against the CIFS client. On the performance side, so these are sort of just some preliminary numbers I was running to find sort of a baseline. The idea here is that once I have these numbers, I can then compare them with optimizations made in the IO path. So I did these in February or April using the Ceph Luminous release, Samba 4.6, so relatively out of date now. But with this I had three Samba gateways running on the monitor nodes, and they were then exposing non-overlapping share paths within the Ceph file system. So there was no CTDB involvement. On the client side, I had 10 client nodes, and they were then sort of just spread equally across the gateway nodes. I was using the SLE12 SP3 kernel, which has a bunch of backports for the CIFS client. Hardware-wise, I had 5 OSD nodes and 6 disks per storage node, so 6 OSD processors. I had NVMe for the Ceph database and write-ahead logs, just to speed things up there. The clients, so they were on a 10 gigabit public network, and the Ceph cluster network was 100 gigabit. And I had a 40 gigabit, I think, uplink between the client and Ceph cluster racks. Yeah. But this is then just the baseline CephFS performance results. So here I was running, it's a little hard to see, but I was running FIO with a number of jobs. So on the far left, it's with 1 job per client. And on the far right, it's with 16 jobs per client. And then within those sets, I was running with different I/O sizes, so 4K, 1 meg, and 4 meg. The numbers, so for native CephFS, this is just with a kernel file system mount, it's sort of up, coming close to the 4 gigabytes per second there.
Is 4 gigs what you thought the max would be?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Is 4 gigs what you thought the max would be?
So given the 40 gigabit uplink between racks, I didn't spend too much time looking into where I thought the bottlenecks were. But
I'm just curious. I mean, the scale, there's no notion of whether this is good or bad. Sure.
As I said, this is purely for the purpose of comparison with the Samba results and with future optimizations. But yes, it's around. I don't think it's a particularly good or bad number for this hardware and for this setup. So, yes?
And because the numbers are same for 1 or 16, maybe you're not stressing it enough, right? I mean.
No. So, sure, I could add more clients there. But as I said, this is really just like a baseline for comparing then with how Samba performs. And then also looking at, what changes, configuration changes or optimizations to the Samba code base then make. So this is in the SME3 client results with VFS Ceph with the Samba gateways. So in this case, I have leases disabled. The purpose of that is that there's currently no mapping between the CephFS caching or client caching capabilities and with Samba leases. But here you can see I'm sort of getting close to 2 gigabytes per second. So it's a significant impact on performance. I mean, obviously, we're going through a single gateway here too, or through three gateways for each I/O. So we have an extra hop, basically, between the cluster and the client. I did do one run with leases then enabled to allow for a bit more client caching, and there, obviously, we get a lot closer to the baseline CephFS numbers. So just at least looking at the existing numbers, it was sort of pretty clear that we need to, or at least one of the things on my list or at the top of my to-do list would then be to work on coherent caching between SME clients and CephFS. So Jeff Layton from Red Hat recently added basically a delegation API to libcephfs. So it looks like we should be able to use that to then handle leasing and lease breaks. It's just a matter of then doing the work in the VFS layer. The shared ACL model, which Jeremy mentioned earlier, so really with the avoidance of the kernel here, we absolutely could support a different, rich ACL model. Unified authentication, so support for Kerberos and LDAP within Ceph is at least planned and being worked on. So at some stage, we'll then be able to hopefully handle consistent mapping of users between Samba and Ceph. Async I/O at the Ceph backend. So this is something which was really quite evident with the small I/O sizes. Having a synchronous backend for Samba is, or for libcephfs Samba is quite an impact. There is the thread pool functionality already there, so I think it's just a matter of plumbing into that to support async I/O there. Multi-channel support, that's already on the list of. Yes.
So the cluster backend already has an async I/O.
So libcephfs is thread safe.
Yeah. Okay. So you should be able to drive that through the pthread.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be complex, but because I know that I think. Well, I'm hoping to hear about the cluster results later, but I think it improved cluster performance when they went to doing async I/O natively on the back end. So.
Automated deployment. Within SUSE, we use Salt and DeepSea for Ceph cluster deployment. We'll eventually get to supporting Samba there, so basically allowing for the Samba gateways to be deployed alongside the Ceph cluster. There's some work on containerization there as well, so potentially having that in upstream Ceph 2. Witness protocol, this is, I think for clustered use cases, it's something which would be great to have. Just for the purpose of advertising changes within the Ceph cluster or advertising Samba gateway changes within the cluster. So this is then more a look towards the future. With regard to supporting sort of scale out Samba gateways in front of Ceph. We do have with Ceph a key value store, or a relatively high performance key value store. So we could potentially use that instead of CTDB for the Samba key value state. So for this task, it's just a matter of basically plumbing into the DB wrap API and having a Ceph backend there. There are some sort of gotchas in that regard, in that it needs to offer support for multi-process I/O and record locking with transactions. But yeah, Ceph is also at the back end or on the OSDs, quite extendable, in that we could add our own Samba class to the Ceph OSDs and handle or allow the Samba nodes to then offload database operations to the OSDs. So yeah, just something to sort of look at and think about there. Otherwise, yeah, that's all I have for now. Were there any other questions? Tom?
This is great. Raise my hand and the microphone arrives. Witness protocol, what work would be needed to implement it? Plumbing it into the Ceph cluster manager?
Yes, so given that we now have this service registration, so basically this is...
Because you already have the witness protocol itself from this work you've done a couple of years back, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you had a Samba server for a witness server.
Yeah, so there are some proof of concept, or at least... I think you're better off speaking to Gunter or Metz. But, so there are some implementations, but there's nothing sort of...
Maybe I'm remembering something else that you presented on. It wasn't witness then. Okay. FSRVP, I don't know what it was, the snapshot stuff.
But yes, with Ceph, we do have, given that we have the, it's called the manager daemon, basically tracking the state of the Samba gateways, then that's an ideal place to then handle retrieval of witness state.
Yeah, the one drawback of the witness protocol is the client has to run witness protocol code as well, and not all clients may have it installed, right, or available at all. The redirection that I mentioned earlier today would be implemented by any modern client since about fall of 2017, something like that. We did that work mid last year.
Okay, so that would then also require IP failover in front of the cluster itself?
No, that would be a redirection from the server at tree connect time to another IP address that was explicitly specified.
Okay.
There's no need to make it failover transparently. TFO is much more complicated. I wouldn't recommend that type of solution.
Andrew, yes.
Did I have a question? Okay.
So are we seeing production deployments of VFS Ceph and things? Is that something that's out there?
So at this stage, at SUSE, we offer it as a tech preview.
Yeah.
So we do have customers playing around with it at this stage. Yeah, I'm not aware of any sort of full production deployments, but I think, it's certainly, at this stage, it's... it's just a matter of trying it yourself and having a play with it, seeing whether it meets your requirements.
And is there any way to route the Ceph protocol over something that isn't IP? So the background is that I work for Catalyst, we have a cloud. And so one of the interests, so we've got it and we use Ceph. Ceph is our block storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been if you want to try and get to that Ceph, well, it's not on the network the users can see.
Mm.
So some of these things that... Sage has been talking about, has been trying to do these file server protocols over a VM transport hypervisor kind of thing.
Okay.
I just wonder whether there's any ways that this could somehow...
I'm not sort of aware of... in that case, you'd generally then have some sort of gateway in front of the Ceph public network. One option, or at least one thing we've seen, is then potentially using RBD with iSCSI, and that iSCSI gateway is then okay. The Ceph cluster.
So Ceph on top of Ceph for our use case.
So you'll then have the iSCSI gateway as an RBD client and then have Samba in front of that.
Mm.
In that case, you're only trusting sort of the iSCSI gateway on the Ceph public network. But I'm not aware of something nicer in that regard.
So. Okay. No, I'm just really keen to see this turn into files as a service that we could deploy into clouds, because that would be really cool.
So there is... So with CephFS, there is with OpenStack, there's Manila, with Manila, there's already support for bringing up then a CephFS share and connecting VMs.
Okay.
Not mounting it, but bringing up the share for given virtual machines within OpenStack. So there is sort of some support for that already.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to recheck on Manila. It's hopefully moved a long way since I last
hopefully,
had a chance to look.
Yeah, I also haven't looked for a while. So.
Okay.
Jeremy, yes.
If you're interested in real deployments, there's a bunch of maniacs on Reddit, subreddit, Data Hoarder, who've got home Ceph clusters running scary amounts of stuff. So go take a search there and you'll probably find people actually using this.
I'll take a look, yeah. Okay. Well, otherwise, I guess that's it.
Thanks.
Any more questions?
Good. Then thank you very much for your tour, a Pokemon Go adapter toolkit.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, then I guess we'll have another break for 8 minutes.